Hello and welcome to Can You Get to That? I'm your host, Caitlin Best.
I am Matthew Olson. Hello.
What's up, Matt?
Not a lot. Ate a quesadilla this morning.
I thought you were going to say a bagel.
No, bagel yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. What did you put in the quesadilla? Or where did you buy it?
I made it.
I don't know these things. What did you put in there?
If I was going to buy a quesadilla in Williamsburg, New York, it would cost me like $9.50. And it would have like, it would be cheese and thick cut bacon and only that. It'd be rough.
Yeah, real rough. Real dense and chewy.
I put kale in it though, so I'm yeah. Who am I to talk? It was, they had a deal. They had a deal.
I knew a kale joke was coming. I could feel it.
Except it's not a joke. It's just what a fact. I actually put in it.
This is just your life now.
Look, I know there's a lot of associations with kale.
Yeah.
But I think it's tasty.
It's all right.
And it's a vegetable. Just be glad that I'm eating fucking vegetables.
I'm happy for you. It's almost like, I'm not going to say that. That's too mean. I'm sorry.
What was going to be too mean?
Like you're an adult.
Ooh, rough. Nice.
I don't mean that.
I'm an adult who put my vegetables next to a heap and helping of cheese. So
nothing wrong with cheese. You can eat cheese. Grown-ups eat cheese all the time. Today we're getting to the Loyal Legion of Loggers and Lumbermen. Is that right?
That is correct. And this topic was suggested to us by our friend and listener, Brian Click, who just the day before us recording this, celebrated his 22nd birthday.
Oh, little happy, Brian.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Happy birthday, little Brian.
Yeah. Brian wrote his thesis on these guys, and I'm sure we're going to say a bunch of wrong shit as we make goofs and try to fill in the gaps of history, and he will call us out on it. So thank you, Brian.
Yeah, so do we want to talk about who they are?
We can open up with that a little bit. I'm a little curious why you never volunteered what you had for breakfast, but okay.
I just had toast.
Nothing on it?
But I'll just toast. Yeah, dry white toast.
Oh,
I cook
good
it right on the
God.
Burner. I just slap it down on the burner, and I wait until the kitchen is starting to fill with smoke.
That's how you know it's good.
That's how you know it's good, yeah.
You know, I don't have a toaster, so you're joking about, like, oh, I'd have to put my toast on the burner. Like, it's my life now.
You can use a broiler.
Yeah, we could use a broiler.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that either.
That's my breakfast every day.
That's your breakfast.
Or sometimes I just have oatmeal, but not, like, prepared in any way. Just, like, the oats. You know
just
what I mean?
Just oats.
Just oats, like, straight out of the cylinder.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds nutritious?
Yes, it is nutritious.
And delicious. Just dry oats. You're not so sure about the flavor experience of that. All right.
It gets the job done. I'll say that. It gets the job done.
Much like the Loyal Legion of Loggers and Lumbermen.
That's right.
Got the
they
job
did.
Done.
They did get the job done.
As they were compelled to during the First World War. By the U.S. government and military.
Mm-hmm. And like those fucking commies, the international woodsmen of the world.
Wasn't it just workers of the world?
Maybe. I don't know.
And then they include the woodsmen?
They include, yeah, it's probably that.
So the quadruple L, as you've decided
to call them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not a real union.
No.
They're like a poser union that was really about getting lumber to come out of the Pacific Northwest faster during wartime.
Yeah.
Because there had been a strike, and then the strike concluded, but the quotas were not being met. And so this military fellow, whose name I cannot remember off the top of my head, steps in and says, hey, what if we go there and we form an organization and we basically force them to work harder?
Go in there and crack some skulls, get those trees chopped,
for
get
America,
the planes built,
though.
Win the war.
Yeah, to help America win the war. Kind of interesting topic. Kind of interesting that there's a bar in Portland called Loyal Legion.
Called Loyal Legion, which is full of just tech bros and other types of bros.
You know, a fake union is despicable in another time, and now a bar frequented by moneyed tech types is arguably despicable in our time. So it fits.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about the bar, so.
The bar does have a lot of beers.
It's overwhelming. That's actually one of the reasons I don't like it.
Oh, really?
It's too many. I don't want that much choice.
Well, you picked the wrong podcast to co-host with me, Caitlin, because we got
a lot of choices to make.
We got to get to that.
Okay.
And if you can start us off with a random article, please. Oh, fuck.
R loop.
Step
one. An R loop is a three-stranded nucleic acid structure composed of a DNA-RNA hybrid and the associated non-template single-stranded DNA. R-loops may be formed in a variety of circumstances and may be tolerated or cleared by cellular components.
I don't get it either.
I need a picture.
I need an adult whenever we land on these biology pages.
I need an adult that can lead me in a craft activity where we build an R-loop out of marshmallows and toothpicks.
That would be very helpful, yes. Indeed. Oh, boy. All living things got DNA and RNA, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, I just had this moment of uncertainty where I was like, do all living things have RNA?
And I think they do.
Still pretty sure the answer is yes.
I think so.
But
I think. People have it. We have it in our mitochondria, right?
You know what?
You know, Matt, the mitochondrion is the powerhouse of the cell.
Thank you. Thank you for that refresher.
Yeah, no problem.
I was thinking about being a bio major for all of a month, so I'm just going to step down, stay in my lane. If you want to ask me about graphs or bonds or subsidies, you know, I'm there.
I also briefly considered being a bio major. I don't know why.
Did you dig it?
I mean, it's like, it's one of those things that's like, it's kind of interesting to me. Like, biology is, like, interesting to me on some level. But then you get down, like, the problem with it is that in college, it just all gets too fucking small.
Just gets too tiny.
Everything is just too goddamn small. It's like, how can you live in this world of adenoviruses and electron microscopy and...
You know, our college did have a prominent animal behaviorist and a population biologist on their staff.
Yeah, well, that's got too many numbers. I can't do those. That's just all... I can't do those numbers ones.
What about the behaviorist who just would watch the animals?
Yeah, that one. I never actually got to take a class with her because she was on sabbatical when I took intro bio, so I never... She seemed cool, though. I attended a senior symposium with her. She seemed chill.
She's a chiller. I remember... This professor in question got tenure while I was taking my intro bio course, and there was a party that all the people currently enrolled in bio courses were invited to, and she was partying.
Yeah,
it was a regular party in a lab, which I'm not sure if you're supposed to do.
What? You're not sure if you're supposed to?
I think any lab space where they have those spigots that you turn and then gas comes out, probably not a candidate for a party. Probably not good for a party.
No, that's perfect. That's built in fireworks.
Sure. That's one way of putting it. Where should we go from here?
I don't fucking know. I was just about to ask you the same thing.
I see a link to Nobel Prize, maybe? Or maybe it's a specific instance. Ooh, Nobel Prize
in physiology or medicine.
Yeah, rough.
But did you have a thought? Well, we could get to Alfred Nobel, he invented dynamite, right?
Yes.
And that was used in World War I, right? That was the first, like, big time that people used dynamite. Am I wrong about that?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that I'm not wrong.
I was listening to a discussion on a podcast recently concerning the upcoming first-person shooter, Battlefield 1.
Oh, fuck yeah.
With the most confusing title in a numbered series ever. Battlefield 1, of course, is set during World War I.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I knew that from the title.
Sure you did.
Yeah.
The hosts of this podcast were discussing how in America, our education by and large, glosses over what World War One was actually about and what took place during it. Up until the point where you maybe study Western history of the 20th century in college, when you read all these books about how World War One was pretty much the height of, like, human atrocities, the Lost Generation, etc. And now that's going to be a video game.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, Matt, here's the thing. Like, okay, World War One, totally, you know, millions of people died, millions of horses died, etc.
Chlorine gas.
Chlorine gas. It was completely a war that was just literally about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Matt, the thing that you're not getting is that war is fucking tight.
Right. Sorry. I forgot.
You forgot
I had a momentary
that.
Lapse where I forgot that war is great.
Yeah, I think that's what you forgot. And that's what video game developers, that's what they understand better than anyone, you know?
Right. I don't know to what extent dynamite was used.
It totally was. Here's the thing. Alfred Nobel, he invented dynamite, right? And it was to be used for, like, mining and shit like that.
Okay.
And then they ended up using it in World War One, and he felt really, really bad about that. And that's why he started handing out the Nobel Prize.
All right.
He wanted to, like, undo the bad that he did.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't quite do that, but, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, he tried.
Okay, let's click on the link to Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine, step two.
Do we know any of these Physiology or Medicine Award winners? Oh, right, Rosalind Franklin was fucking robbed. This was the award that she was robbed for.
Yep. Other Physiology Medicine winners off the top of my head, I'm gonna feel so stupid for, if we scroll down to the list, there'll be like, I'm sure like half a dozen names I recognize, but that I just can't think of. Brains don't work that way. It's not just like a folder in my head.
I have to say, I don't think we're gonna know too many of these.
I mean, there's gotta be, if you wouldn't scroll so damn fast, maybe I could see.
I was looking for a list. Oh, it's my dad, Charles Best.
Oh, well, there you go. You know that. You know that fellow.
Let's see, what did he invent?
You and all your Nobel Prize money.
I went to visit my parents Friday night and Saturday. Mm-hmm. My dad just got this metal lathe, and he was very excited about it. And we went in the garage, and, like, he showed me this lathe. And it's, like, a small lathe. It's, like, smaller than other ones, I guess. We, like, literally cooed over this thing like it was a fucking puppy.
Wow. That's touching?
Yeah, it was a sweet moment. And then there was this, like, plastic rod, and he put it in the lathe, and we made it, like, a quarter of an inch smaller in diameter.
Sorry, I'm a little... I love this lathe story. I'm a little distracted by this paragraph that's talking about lobotomies.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Yep, that's the one. That's the paragraph.
Well, okay, this does say leucotomy and not lobotomy.
Right, but it is estimated that around 40,000 lobotomies were performed in the United States before the procedure's popularity faded.
Wait, that's so this dude won a Nobel Prize for inventing this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. That's fucked.
Joseph Kennedy, the father of John Kennedy, subjected his daughter Rosemary to the procedure, which incapacitated her to the degree that she needed to be institutionalized for the rest of her life. The 20th century?
The 20th century is, like, not a great time in a lot of ways.
Not saying that the 21st is any better, but, hey, lobotomies, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, I think we can be glad about that.
Yeah,
all right, should we jump to just, like, Nobel Prize, if we can find that? Or maybe we should just jump to...
Yeah, I think we should just jump to your boy, Alfred Nobel.
Our boy, Alfred.
Step three, Alfred
Swedish
Nobel.
Chemist, engineer, innovator, and armaments manufacturer.
Do you think he doesn't like that last one being included
on
his
Wikipedia
page?
I have to say, he probably wouldn't be crazy about that if he was around. Okay, also, I was totally wrong about the World War One thing because he died in 1896.
Yep.
But let's see about the Nobel Prize, because I feel like it's not nothing.
I was very comfortable hedging my bets on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, I feel like dynamite was used to blow the hell out of people much earlier.
Before World War One. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
By World War One, we were all about, you know, terrifying gases, not, you know, just... huge
Not
concussive
just explosions.
Yeah.
Right.
How many different categories of Nobel Prize are there now, though?
Oh, there's a whole fucking bunch.
Because you can just be, you can get the Peace Prize, mm-hmm. which I guess is just like a recognition that you're supposed to be pretty chill.
Yeah. I mean, Even though, I think it's pretty politicized, you know.
It's pretty politicized. Like, some people who commit some war crimes occasionally get peace prizes, I
think. Didn't fucking Henry Kissinger win that shit?
I don't know. But if he did, he should have it revoked.
Okay. Nobel found that when nitroglycerin was incorporated into an absorbent inert substance, like some German word.
Do you not know what diatomaceous earth is?
Okay, diatomaceous earth, but they put the German word on there. Patented it as dynamite. This was in 1867. Nobel had also considered naming the highly powerful substance Nobel's safety powder.
That would have been an ironic name.
Yeah, indeed.
Focus has been given to the question of him the prizes being intended to improve his reputation in the regard for manufacture of weaponry. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. This is rough now, because now we gotta just get to World War.
We just gotta get to, like, wars.
One.
We can do this. Crimean War. We can, like, go through some wars.
Have we tried that before? Just going from to another war?
We haven't, but I bet that we can do it, because this shit's all related, right? It's all just, like, everybody in Europe was just, like, they would have a war over something, and then these grievances would, like, fester for a while. And then they would have another war about something, like, sort of related to that. You know?
I think that mostly checks out. But also, I wanna cite the historians of Fallout. War never changes.
Oh, yeah.
So, by that statement, we should be able to get to any war through any other war pretty easily.
Right, yeah.
There should just be a section that says, same as...
Mm-hmm. Right, compared to...
Compared to other war.
Do not contrast with. You cannot contrast.
I also see a link to American Civil War. I don't know if that seems like it would put us on better footing. But also, this is going to be a pretty... Taking this path is going to lead to some pretty grim topics of discussion. I feel like haven't been a lot of belly laughs so far.
I mean, we're here, aren't we? Or we could go, here's another idea. You see what I'm hovering over right now?
Oh, plywood? Fuck yeah. I would much rather go through
I'd rather talk about wood products.
Step four, plywood.
All right. This is better. This makes me feel better.
Hell yeah. Plywood has helped me out many times in my life.
I mean, yeah, it's in all our lives. It's in the walls. It's in the air we breathe. It's everywhere.
Is it in the air we breathe, Caitlin?
It's how's all the, around us.
How's the
Look
air quality
you.
Doing in Portland? Has that situation changed since I left?
Dude, people are just like, it's not even that bad. These fucking hippies in Portland find out about any little trace of heavy metals in the air and they freak out. We're all breathing heavy metals. You live in a city. Chill out.
Yeah,
we're all going to die.
There is an extent where it's like, this is one of those unfortunate costs that we suffer for being part of industrialized society.
Yeah.
And just be glad that you reap some of the direct benefits of that while also the negative externalities instead of just, like, I don't know, living in an impoverished part of the world that also has a factory.
Yeah, where they
that poisons
impoverished parts of the world where you can't buy beautiful art glass bongs to smoke weed out of.
Is that what Bullseye's art
glass they just make the raw materials, but you know a lot of people buy that shit for bongs.
Yeah, quite possibly. I biked past that place twice a day for a year, pretty much. So, if anybody should be mad, it should be me, and not the preschool nearby. No.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
That's the one part where it's like, when people can just point right, like, down the road, and there's a preschool, and you're doing this shit, which is against regulation, you should back down real quick. You should just shut down.
Yeah, well, they are, actually, they currently are shut down.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they're trying to, like, figure out how to fix their stuff so they don't...
How to get the filters that they knew they needed to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How to get that whole thing going. And there's a company in Seattle that's shut down. Did you hear about that?
No. What happened?
There's this other glass maker in Seattle that somebody sort of gave them the side eye on, like, were they emitting heavy metals?
Uh-huh.
And they were like, we give up.
Was it just, like, suspicion was cast their way? And they were like, we're sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that way.
Ooh, wow. Call out culture. It's real. It's yeah. really something, isn't it?
It's gotten pretty far.
Okay. Let's see now. Plywood. Plywood.
Plywood.
Wood grain? Wood veneer? Medium wood. Density fiberboard? which of these do we think
engineered wood?
Engineered wood. I don't know what the fuck that means. Oh, it is an engineered wood. Okay.
Yeah.
How do we get to the Pacific Northwest?
How do we get to general wood?
Yeah, to just wood, please.
I feel like I don't know, wood grain. Do you think wood grain have a link to just wood?
Possibly. What about the history, though? Can we see the history?
History.
See if there's anything plywood. Interesting yeah. about the manufacture.
Whoa, 1797. Samuel Bentham applied for patents covering several machines to produce veneers. I would not expect, wouldn't have expected it to be that old.
Yeah, that's pretty old. I feel like structural characteristics, types, softwood plywood. Let me guess. And then there's probably a
hardwood plywood.
Yep, hardwood plywood, tropical plywood. Hell yeah. Flexible plywood. Marine plywood. And then other plywoods.
Other.
Fucking A.
No links.
This is what a article we have landed on.
Yeah, okay. So here's hardwood. We don't want that. In the PNW here, they
Douglas fir softwood. Or spruce.
And in yeah. fact, spruce is specifically the wood that the government needed to build planes out of.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice retention.
So you want to try spruce?
Yeah, step five, spruce.
Okay. There we go.
You'll recall that, was it Howard Hughes? He had
spruce goose.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Spruce is a genus of the tree Picea.
Do you think
it's a tree of the genus Picea, a genus of about 35 species of coniferous evergreen trees.
Mm-hmm. This is important though. If you could just touch base with me on this point.
Yes.
Do you think he came up with the name spruce goose first spruce or goose. The plane first? Do you think he woke up one day and was like, I gotta make a plane called the Spruce Goose?
No, he just was gonna make a thing called the Spruce Goose. He didn't even know it was gonna be a plane.
This was before he even made planes.
He didn't even make planes. And the first version was just a carved goose.
Ah, yes, of course. Howard Hughes' little known wood carving days. Yeah.
Yeah. But they didn't sell. Nobody wanted those.
Yeah, didn't even make it in the Leo DiCaprio movie. Yeah.
Just have you seen
skip
that movie?
Right over that. I feel like I've seen part of it because my dad fucking loves planes.
Oh, yeah.
So we definitely like got the DVD of it, but I was just not fucking paying attention at all.
Yeah, I never watched that movie.
Because that was exactly the point in Leo's career where I'm just like, until you fucking winning one of those Oscar dues, I'm not going to watch.
I'm not watching another goddamn movie until you got a little golden man.
Yeah, if you got nominated for this one and it's not the one that wins, it must be fucking garbage,
it
right?
It must be because it's a garbage movie. That's right.
Exactly. You'd think they'd give you a pity one of these days. Maybe try something with a bear.
Yeah, I only watch Oscar-winning films.
Yeah. As you should.
Yeah.
That's a true mark of quality. Hashtag Oscars so white. Can we scroll down to uses? You're just reading the top of the page right now. You're really
I actually wasn't reading it. I was just hovering there.
Oh, okay.
I was just sort of staring into space. Spruce is a useful building wood. The Wright brothers' first aircraft was built of spruce.
That might get us
the flyer.
Close. Well, if we could find other mentions of aircraft, maybe that might be better, but let's see. Other uses. The resin was used in the manufacture of pitch. Native Americans in North America use the thin pliable roots of some species for weaving baskets. Popular ornamental trees.
Christmas trees, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you always have a Christmas tree growing up? Like every year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't. Not every year.
Well, We can talk about the differences between our families in that respect if you like to, but
it sounds like we can't. It sounds like you want to shut that conversation down.
No, I don't. No, I mean, we had a Christmas tree. We go out to the Christmas tree farm, you know, Oregon, right. Christmas tree capital. Usually cut that fucker down.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would do it actually. And
did you ever cut down the tree? Did you ever have to take a swing at it?
I mean, we used a saw.
Oh, okay. A chainsaw or just like a back and forth?
I want to say that we just used like a back and forth.
An old timey saw.
An old timey saw. That's yeah. Right.
I mean, we would have it like every other year at my house. But my house growing up was small. And uh-huh. It was a fucking... I mean, they're a nuisance. Like
they're a nuisance.
They are. It's like great for the first couple days.
Yeah.
And then at some point you have to spend like 6 hours decorating it. And that's either really fun or a really tedious process.
I don't know about 6 hours.
If you have a lot of good ornaments, you do. Because then you got to jam them all up on there and still have it look nice.
Tell me about some of your ornaments.
We had some real old ones.
Uh-huh.
And some newer ones.
Uh-huh. Did you have like some medium-age ones?
Some medium-age ones, some homemade uh-huh. ones.
Uh-huh. Some factory-made ones.
There was one that looked like a little red British telephone booth that I liked
cute.
A lot.
That's cute.
We had a star. The other so like it's great for like the first week and then the needles start to fall off and then well, even the tinsel starts to fall off and just get fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like suddenly
right. It's a nuisance. I mean, why have things, you know?
Why have things?
Everything
off?
Falls apart eventually.
But second off, have you ever been to a like I mean, they'll still have them at malls and stuff usually mm-hmm. for displays, but I don't know of anybody who has actually displayed one of these in their homes. But the, not the just artificial trees, but the like in your face artificial Christmas trees. Like the ones like, that are basically made out of tinsel.
That are like metal.
The shiny plastic.
Yeah.
Like chromed out Christmas trees.
Yeah, no, I've seen those. What about those?
That was like a whole thing. Like that wasn't always a commercial thing. They were sold to people as like better Christmas trees. Like why get this fucking lame ass tree that you had to chop down in a forest when you could get this artificial shiny piece of shit and impress the hell out of your neighbors in like the 60s.
Real techno futuristic.
Yeah. That's the tree for me. I think now
it's a horror.
Huh?
It's a horror, Matt.
Caitlin, Christmas is already co-opted by less than wholesome capitalist like impulses. Why not have a tree that represents that?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Just let me know when you when you've inserted your brain into the internet and you can just have a Christmas tree like in your second life. No, you know, no needles. It can be whatever color you want it to be.
Virtual reality tree.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how dope this would be though. A family Christmas morning all puts on their VR headsets.
Yeah.
And gathers around the VR tree. And the VR tree is fucking huge.
Yeah, the VR tree is bigger than the inside of the house.
And then imagine how dope the present opening animations are in VR.
Oh
like
my
it's
God.
Not like there's no mess. You're not tearing open paper or anything. You like click a button on your motion controller and then the box like unfolds like a fucking transformer
mm-hmm.
to reveal
the box turns into a little origami toy. So you get two presents, actually.
Yeah. The box is always a present, too. But what was in the box? Oh, it was a World War I era American soldier who shoves a bayonet into your virtual neck. And congratulations, here's your Steam key for Battlefield 1. Merry Christmas. You just got bayoneted. Now enjoy the.
But you can't look at the Christmas tree anymore. You have to take your headset off.
You have to take your headset off. If you die in that game, you die
now.
In real life.
Should we go to? Well, okay, Pulpwood.
I feel like either the flyer, the Wright flyer, or just the Wright brothers to get to aviation.
The planes. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Wright flyer.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm good with that. Step six, Wright Flyer, also known as the Flyer 1 or the 1903 Flyer.
Okay. I don't fully, I have to, I'm going to read you the first sentence and I have to say I don't fully understand it.
Okay.
The Wright Flyer, often retrospectively referred to as Flyer 1 or 1903 Flyer, was the first successful heavier-than-air powered aircraft.
Uh-huh.
What previous aircrafts were there that were not heavier than air?
I think, and I could be completely wrong here, but if you'll see on the sidebar, it says developed from the Wright glider. Is that heavier than air is, I think, just a term used for when the plane itself, if it has not picked up speed and is like exerting power, if the craft is like not trying actively to fly, it will just drop like a brick.
Because like, the thing about the term heavier than air is that it seems to me that if something was lighter than air, it would just float up into space.
Right. I think it's a colloquial sort of meaning. But, like, I think a lighter than air could include a fucking kite. Like, something that will just be borne on the wind.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, a bird.
I don't think it's applied to animals, generally.
What about like a really, like a bird with a really big wingspan, like an albatross?
Well, you know, maybe we'll check on that if we get to the quadruple L after. We'll see if a albatross counts as a heavier than air.
As a heavier than air aircraft.
Well, a heavier than air bird.
Right.
Let's scroll down. This is very much about the plane.
Oh, it's all about the plane.
And not about subsequent planes, I think. Mm-hmm. Or the influence of the Flyer. No, maybe.
Where did you see that? Influence of the Flyer.
There's a whole subsection you just
scroll
past.
Whole section. Okay.
I'm looking for military usage or patents.
Yeah,
or
so I am looking for that.
Because my understanding is that in World War One. So we've been flying planes for all of like
10 years
thereabout. Yeah. And the usage of planes in World War One, to my understanding, was not for rad dogfights so much as it was for bombing.
They totally had dogfights though. The fucking the Red Baron, dude.
Right, but that was a lot, you know, more tetchy then, is my understanding. But mostly it would be to drop terrible shit on people.
Right
I don't really know
you're probably right. That seems that
Caitlin, this might be a little preemptive. Usually we save this line to close the show out now, but what if technology bad though? What if aviation bad though?
You have a point there, huh? What if planes are bad?
What if we should try to go further out to aviation generally.
Okay, dude, airplane. There we go.
Just airplane? Yeah.
Should we go to airplane?
Okay, step seven, airplane. This. Oh, whoops, it's the comedy movie from the 70s. Airplane with an exclamation point at the end. Oh, no.
Wah, wah. I wonder if that's in C also.
I hope not.
No, it's not. Damn
Wait,
it.
Wouldn't that have been maybe a disambiguation at the top?
Yeah. For other
uses to see airplane disambiguation and aeroplane.
What's the difference? Why is there the word airplane and the word aeroplane?
I think the latter is what the Brits say.
Is it what they say across the pond there?
Hello. It's me again. It's British, Matt. You thought you were done finally.
Mate, is you an aeroplane pilot?
I'm an ace aeroplane pilot, and this bit is officially over. Because I really wanted to make a joke about In the Aeroplane Over the Sea, you know, that great album.
Sorry, I don't understand. Okay.
Seriously? You don't?
Yeah, seriously.
That's the Neutral Milk Hotel album?
Sorry.
The one that people love?
It's great that people love it. I'm happy for them.
Are
I'm
you just not into that? Have you listened to the album?
No, I haven't, clearly.
Holy shit. Wow.
Don't shame me for
I'm not
this,
shaming
Matt.
You. I'm just saying, like, you and I went to the same college.
Yeah, we did.
We knew
a lot of people. We knew a lot of the same people. We knew a lot of different people.
I'm just shocked that no one who is still to this day a fucking, like, annoying diehard about that album never, like, forced you to sit down and listen to it. Or that you didn't listen to it of your own.
Is that self-referential, what you're saying?
No, I don't think I've ever tried... Well, no, that's wrong. I made our friend Ari listen to it once, I think. No. Was it Ari or Rennie?
I don't know.
They were both in the car. I think it was Rennie, because Ari definitely was down on the Neutral Milk Hotel. We were on the way back from the ski cabin. I think Rennie had said, I've never actually listened to that album. And I was like, well, it's the only thing on my phone right now.
That's perfect. Yeah, no, that never happened to me.
Yeah. But you also never looked at it of your own volition.
No.
Did you ever dip your toe into like the Decemberists to be like, what are these Portland fucks up to?
I would say that I dipped the corner of my left pinky toe into the Decemberists.
You were just solidly into the metals and the raps, weren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Try to think of an artist that you think it would be ridiculous if I haven't experienced their oeuvre.
I mean, like, knowing you as a person or, like, just from my perspective?
Either or. Like, someone that I've already said, like, I don't know who the fuck that is or what their deal is, and you were, like, taken aback.
I can't think of a time that's happened. I don't know, like, Public Enemy?
Yeah, not really familiar too much.
Yeah.
Public Enemy, other than, like, the songs that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I found Military Aviation.
Hell yeah. Okay. I think that's what we got to go for.
It seems like what we want, right?
Step 8, Military Aviation. And then can we maybe find like...
Oh, this is it, Matt. This is the difference right here. In our history, it says the first military uses of aviation involved lighter than air balloons.
Oh, shit.
So it literally does mean that.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Crack that code.
I feel really dumb for not knowing or not even thought of the possibility
of
balloons.
Yeah, we didn't figure that out. Didn't even occur to us.
Maybe
isn't there a scene in Battlefield 1 where
there's definitely Zeppelins.
Where there's a Zeppelin.
Definitely Zeppelins. There's a mention of World War 1 a little bit down the page. Okay. Can you see if that's a stealthy link to aviation World War 1? Nope, it's further up. Nope, just World War 1. Okay.
Well, there's Timeline of Military Aviation, which is its own article.
Yeah, we should keep that in mind, but
okay.
Let's keep scrolling down, see if we can get into any more. Oh god, this is just gonna quickly get into. Oh, it's actually pretty short article.
It's a short article. Huh. Yeah,
that was quickly gonna get into like how dope like fucking VTOL helicopters are, but
there's a pretty cool helicopter on this page.
Yeah, let's go for that timeline, I guess.
Okay. Have I talked to you about the Matrix and how like the thing that breaks the fourth wall of that movie for me is when Trinity sees a helicopter and immediately knows the fucking model number of the helicopter?
Okay. First off, step 9, timeline of military aviation. Second off.
Yeah.
Why? Why
I don't know. It just always like seemed weird to me that like, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess she knows a lot of stuff, but like this helicopter is not marked in any way. This is just like.
Helicopters have like, you can identify aircraft by their profile.
Yeah, totally. But like, I don't know. The thing is just the fact that she doesn't already know how to fly it. And she knows. That's the thing. It's like she needs instructions for how to fly it uploaded into her brain, but
right.
She also knows the exact helicopter that it is.
Well, just always... but the thing is that, so you're saying in the world of the Matrix, it would make more sense if she's going to know the name of the thing, she should already know how to fly it.
I don't know.
Because I think it's completely reasonable to say, hey, I can tell you the name of that thing. Fuck if I know how to use it. Like,
it's just
let
like,
me come up with
like,
an example that I think should lay your concerns to rest.
Okay.
If I were to see a mobile suit Gundam.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
If I were to see one, I could tell you it was a Gundam.
Okay.
But if an anime nerd were to see one, he could tell you the model name of that Gundam, and he still probably wouldn't be able to pilot it.
Right, but Trinity didn't build the helicopter. Like she didn't think of the helicopter. Like she's more like you in that situation than she is like the animator.
I'm not saying I didn't say animator. I said
What'd you
anime
say?
nerd.
Oh, an anime nerd. Okay. But
Huge
like how,
difference.
but here's the thing, how do we know? Is she just, I don't know. I guess like it just seems like she would have to have some sort of niche interest in like aviation in order to know that. And like there's no indication anywhere else that that's the case. And so it just seems kind of like, oh,
Are you
here's this
asking?
weird,
Are
here's
you
this weird
asking?
little, this piece of information about this character, just like apropos of nothing.
You're
Like,
asking for a throwaway line where Trinity's like, "I love you, Neo. Also, I really love planes and helicopters and shit. I think they're really dope."
yeah, something like
Just
that.
to seal it up for you.
Yeah, or
Okay.
like, you know, it's like, oh, you're the one that like hacked the IRSD base and also like Boeing's mainframe, you know?
Right. Boeing's mainframe.
Yeah, Boeing, the people that make the flying things. You know Boeing?
Yeah. I would think that maybe Lockheed Martin would make more sense in this context, but okay.
Oh.
Sorry. Okay. Timeline, pretty crazy. Pretty dense here.
Yeah, it's just a lot of years in succession, pretty much.
Lots of links to click, but wow, the first conventional air-to-air kill occurred on October 5th, 1914.
This is pretty like England focused.
It's very England
It's
focused.
very like Royal Flying Corps, Royal Naval Air
Yeah,
Service, Royal Air Force.
there's not really a American presence on this at all.
Except for this one aeroplane
Okay,
called the
scroll back up.
yeah.
There's a point that says the Union Army Balloon Corps is established
Yeah.
during the American Civil War.
Yes.
I have to imagine that from the Union Army Balloon Corps, we should be able
You
to
can get
get
to
to
the
the
Air
modern
Force.
Air Force.
Okay.
Okay, step 10, Union Army Balloon Corps. Holy shit, they were actually just saying that they were going to use balloons during the American Civil War. Okay.
Well, yeah. What did you think it was?
I don't know. It just seems a little too steampunk for the Civil War, you know? Just a little too much monocles, top hats, and gears for the American
Mean,
Civil War.
you hear about that boat, that metal boat they had in the Civil War? Old Ironsides.
Yeah.
Steampunk is real, you know?
I'm okay with anime being real. I'm not okay with steampunk being real. I draw the line
Yeah.
at steampunk.
Yeah, me neither. I would agree with that. Okay, after the Civil War,
Oh boy. I think we
I think we
might.
might have done shit the bed.
It's quite possible. We got some time left though.
Okay, Army Signal. I just see it's Army Signal Corps. I don't think that's what we want at all. I'm gonna look at
No.
this little sidebar. Nothing there. See also? Nothing there.
History of military ballooning.
Also, The Mysterious Island by Jules Verne.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna get us any closer.
Okay. Airship.
Airship? No,
You don't
we can't
think we could.
get there through airship.
We can't. We cannot.
I mean,
Period.
not with the time remaining, I don't think.
Okay.
I think
Okay.
what we might need to do at this point is veer hard and try to get to Washington or Oregon and get to like the lumber industry.
Washington Navy Yard. But that's, wait.
That could be
That's
anywhere.
Washington, D.C., right?
That could be anywhere. It's just a Navy Yard called
Right. Okay, that's
Washington.
nothing.
Yeah.
We can't go there. Yeah, I'm gonna say we made a wrong turn at Plywood. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, I think so. Should have just kept going down that wood train.
Yeah, we should have.
I think the wrong turn was made at Spruce.
You think
Not.
so?
Yeah, because from
I
Spruce
can't
we went
believe
to the
it.
Wright Flyer, and I think that just got us a little off course.
Wait, here's a fun this is a fun fact. The size of the Union Army Balloon Corps was
Yeah.
eight. There were eight people in it.
Hell yeah.
And they're called aeronauts.
Serve with honor, y'all. I guess it's the Union.
Yeah.
Where to next? And don't say aeronauts.
I wasn't gonna say aeronauts.
Mil spec.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know.
It but says, the sentence is, Lowe believed that balloons used for military purposes. Yeah. Oh, this is like, mil-spec must be like a thing that's for army stuff.
Yeah, military specifications.
Like anything.
I don't know. That could be helpful as a link. That could be incredibly hurtful. But I don't want to just call it here.
No, we're not going to call it. We're not giving up. What was the thing that I said that you didn't want to go to airship or dirigible?
Yeah, or blimp or zeppelin.
I don't know why those are all different things.
Because they are different. I can't tell you how, but they are.
But see, didn't they, as I know from Battlefield 1, they used those things in World War 1.
Okay. I just don't think that that's what they needed the spruce for.
Okay.
From the Loyal Legion of Loggers and Lumbermen.
Okay, question. If I click show under related topics.
No, that's not a link. Yeah, that's not a link. Expand.
Okay. Armies, bushwhacker, cavalry, field artillery, siege artillery, medicine, military leadership, naval battles,
this is
records.
This is related specifically to the American Civil War, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Because they did not have an Air Force.
They didn't have an Air Force back then.
No.
Okay, aftermath? Oh, man, this one is so close.
Military Order of the Loyal Legion of the United States. Yeah. If Loyal Legion is its own abstracted term, maybe. Let's click on that.
All right, fuck
Step
it. 11, YOLO.
Military Order of the Loyal Legion of the United States.
This is a mistake. This is not going to work.
Or simply as the Loyal Legion, but that's a shorthand for it. Okay.
That's a double L, not a quadruple L.
Sure.
This is not going to work.
Well, you're just scrolling through rather fast. Wait, okay. If we can see the name.
Oh, shit. If we can remember that fucking guy's name.
Yes.
I don't remember his name.
Okay, just scroll through slowly. Because if he's on here.
You think it's going to ring a bell?
I think it's going to ring a bell. Fuck. Come on. It like overlaps with the right time.
Yeah. A lot of big names on here. Ulysses S. Grant. Douglas MacArthur. Adna Chafee, related to Lincoln Chafee?
Possibly.
Okay, so I know
the guy's name was Bryce P. Disk.
Disk, right, D-I-S-Q-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is alphabetical, so we can do this fast. Okay, he's not there.
No. Nope. Oh, shit.
Yeah, we're fucked.
Bryce,
come back.
Bryce Disk. Where you at?
Not there.
Oh, man. This is
sad. This is a big one. I feel like if we had just gone through all the wars, we could have done this, like, easy.
Through all the wars?
You know, if we'd gone to World War whatever.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have had that nice breather where we just talked about trees.
Yeah, trees are nice.
Trees are nice.
Okay, there's still...
Still a little bit of hope.
Maybe we could get to World War I from this.
Wait, is this another list of people?
This many lists of people on this page. It's nothing but lists. Okay.
Wait.
We got this.
Who was president during World War I?
I was just going to ask you that.
Wasn't it?
Was it? Well, so.
It was Wilson. Right?
Was it? Yeah, it was totally Wilson, who's not fucking here. No, there right. He is. Okay. Henry Wilson.
That's a different guy. That's a different guy. That is not Woodrow.
Oh, God damn it. Think they're related, though?
I don't know.
Think that's his pops?
Possibly. I don't know. That seems like a big...
I'm doing it.
All right, fine. Step 12, Henry Wilson.
Nothing to lose. Henry Wilson. Damn it.
Womp, womp, womp. Not Woodrow Wilson's dad.
Damn it.
Sorry, Wilson is a common surname. I think that with that, we should call it.
Yeah.
We fucked this one right up.
Almost an hour. Yeah,
Yep. But thank you again for the topic, Brian Click, and happy birthday once again.
And sorry.
I mean, I don't
do people care?
Do people feel like they've wasted an hour if we don't get to it?
I do feel like getting to it three times is a better value than getting to it. Zero times.
Possibly. Yeah. It leaves you and I happier.
Yeah.
But But, you know, if you would like to let us know how you feel about when we succeed or when we fail, consider going on iTunes and leaving a review and subscribing on iTunes to Can You Get to That? That would be great. You could also follow us on Twitter. It's @GetToThat. And I've been trying to use that account more recently. So
for official Get to That business, not just for like general purposes.
Well, yeah, I put up a poll in reference to a recent episode asking hottest dad. And only one person voted in it. And it, not on. Even you. It was me.
Hold on. I missed it. Well, I missed that. I'm going to it right now.
It's closed. The polls only last 24 hours.
Damn it.
Idris Elba won in a landslide of one vote. you can follow me on Twitter. It's @MatthewOlson. Spell it right. And Caitlin, got any plugs?
Not really. Wait, Matt, we got a like on this poll. Who's somebody who's neither of us.
That's good.
Yeah.
But apparently they missed the voting period.
She didn't vote, though. Yeah, I don't really have anything to plug, RN. But you can find me on Twitter at @bestkabest, BESTKABEST. And you can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/...
CYGTT.
I fucking got it. Nailed it.
All right. With that, Caitlin, I think I just have one last question for you.
Yeah, Matt?
What if... Airplane's bad, though.